Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota has the highest suicide rate in the Midwest. We rank 9th nationwide. In the quest to understand this and to work toward changing it, the USD Center for Brain and Behavior Research is holding a public forum on suicide prevention. That's Wednesday, August 8, 6:30 p.m. Central Time at the USD Health Science Center. Joining us for a preview, we have Lee Baugh. He is Associate Director for Center for Brain and Behavior Research at USD. Lee Baugh, welcome and thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Joining us from our Vermilion studio. And on the phone, we have Dr. Emily Ansel, Associate Professor of Psychology at Syracuse University, who's coming to the event. Dr. Ansel, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Professor Baugh, let's start with you and talk about the reason for this forum. It seems maybe we've already said it by saying that the rate in South Dakota is so alarming, but give us a big picture of why have this forum and how to set it up to make it the most useful.
Well, as you had mentioned, the suicide rates in South Dakota are quite high, and because of this, we wanted to provide an opportunity for the community to hear about leading research on the topic and discuss with experts in the field, such as Dr. Ansel, as well as let the community know about resources that are available to them. So by forming this symposium, we're able to put the community in contact with these leading experts to really hear how the state of the research is currently.
Dr. Ansel, how difficult is it to understand the risk factors of suicide attempts? It has to be so multifaceted.
It really is, and that's made it very complex work to help identify and prevent suicide attempts. We have done some work looking at broad factors that might identify people that are generally at risk. And that's something that's really relevant in the state of South Dakota, like veterans, those who have a history of drug and addiction, and particularly adversity and social pressures. And so when we identify those factors, that's useful because we can help narrow it down a little bit. But the factors only identify a broad group of people. And what's really helpful in prevention is if we can identify those people that are most acutely at risk. Because those are the ones that we want to intervene in the moment with or do something to prevent a suicide attempt. So a lot more work is needed for us to identify what are the exact circumstances in the day-to-day life that brings someone with that history of those factors to the point that they might be considering making a suicide attempt.
Is most of the research that you're doing in the area of prevention, are you looking at people who have died and you're talking to their loved ones about piecing together the last however many hours of their lives? Or you're dealing with people who have attempted suicide and then are willing to talk to you about what was going on at that point? How do you engage in ethical research in this topic?
Yeah, so a lot of the work that we do is generally with people that have made an attempt or are thinking about an attempt and who are willing to talk with us. In particular, we look for people that might have made an attempt more recently and are willing to come and participate in either an assessment in our laboratory, maybe undergo some neuroimaging, or participate in assessments on a smartphone so that they tell us about their moment-to-moment experiences, feelings, stress, behaviors in day-to-day life so we get a better understanding of what's going on with them. Mm.
So talk a little bit about that role of technology then in sort of capturing the appropriate data, but also in possibly assisting in prevention. We all, maybe most of us, have within our pockets the means to reach out, but not necessarily the means to reach out effectively.
Yes, absolutely. So one way that mobile technology can be really useful in prevention is that it does offer us the opportunity to track individuals, to track what is going on with them if they're willing to. It offers doctors a way to monitor their patients at a whole new level. And by doing that, then we can look for differences and changes, maybe in how often you're talking to your friends on your phone, how often you're using social media, maybe how long you're sleeping during the night, that might indicate acute risk for individuals, that maybe their depression is getting worse, or maybe their suicidality is increasing. But it also offers, like you mentioned, an opportunity for us to offer intervention and prevention, because not only can we then monitor them, we can deliver interventions on their phones or via apps that might help us assess and offer alternatives to making suicide attempts. It also offers an interface for anyone to reach out to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, because they offer both a 1-800 number, but they also offer a chat session on their website. So all of these things are different avenues for anyone seeking help to get help, and for us to potentially identify those people that are most need the help in the moment.
Dr. Bott, let's talk a little bit about the program at USD, the Center for Brain and Behavior Research, because when we talk about the numbers in South Dakota in general, and then we talk about research scientists in the state, students coming in, being plugged into the latest research, what's the intersection between what's happening at USD and this crisis that's happening in rural South Dakota and urban South Dakota, but in the state?
So one of the roles that the Center for Brain and Behavior Research really takes seriously is this ability to serve our local community through outreach events such as these. But we also are here to promote innovative research in areas that we like to call from bench to bedside. So we have researchers on campus that are looking at some of the cellular and neurotransmitter type mechanisms that are feeding into depression and suicide. So very much in a lab setting, but also individuals that are working with patients after a crisis, looking at better ways to actually engage in therapeutic treatment for these individuals. So we're in a unique position where we have researchers that are really at the forefront of both the basic sciences and what's called translational research. So we think providing these opportunities and supporting this type of research, both for those investigators that are doing it, as well as students that are involved, are allowing South Dakota to really become one of the leading areas in research in suicide and suicide prevention, as well as the interface between brain and behavior in general.
Give us an idea of how the forum will play out, who will be there, you know, how do people access information about it and get the most out of the event.
So we're hoping to have a fairly informal event, so members of the community are welcome to stop by at the Health Sciences Center in Sioux Falls and have the opportunity to discuss these types of questions with the researchers that are going to be present. We have a collection of both individuals local to South Dakota, as well as some expert speakers coming from across the country. Additionally, we want to provide a lot of opportunity for more of a question answer format, so people can really have their questions answered and be directed to resources that are available. So we'll have experts not only on the research side, but also experts in interacting with the community in terms of getting suicide information out there to the public that will be available. Mm-hmm. We'll also have individuals here in Vermilion running a sort of a remote connection to the forum as well. So if there's anyone in Vermilion that doesn't want to take the long trip up to Sioux Falls at the Lee Medical Building here at the University of South Dakota's main campus, we'll be teleconferencing the forum there as well.
Dr. Ansel, I wish we had just, a couple hours with you, because the work that you're doing is so fascinating. But I'm wondering if you might talk for just a few minutes about how our brains process stress. Do our brains process stress differently depending on our genetics, depending on events? What are some of the things that you're learning right now that are promising to sort of working towards solutions?
Yeah, absolutely. Our brains are affected by stress, and in both directions. So having a lot of stress can potentially negatively impact our brains, but also having times where we deal with stress effectively or taking a vacation can also benefit our brains. And so our brains are constantly changing and are very resilient, but also because they can be negatively impacted by things that are going on around us, it might set us up with the right circumstances, and if we have a history of stress and adversity, to make us more vulnerable that the next time something stressful happens, that we might be at greater risk for something like a suicide attempt or some other impulsive behavior. And that's one of the things that actually my research is looking at right now, is we're looking at differences in how people people's brains handle stress and how that might predispose some individuals to be particularly vulnerable for suicidality or for suicide attempts. And we know from several prior research studies that individuals with histories of adversity and stressful life events, things like trauma, combat, PTSD, or other stress-related psychopathologies, tend to be at greater risk for suicide attempts. And we also know that stressful life events, particularly stressful interpersonal life events, tend to occur immediately before someone makes a suicide attempt. Mm. So having a history of stress and adversity might be impacting the brain in a way that makes it difficult for us to handle the stress in the moment, and that this might make it hard for us to regulate our emotions and our impulse control, and might increase that risk for suicide attempt. So that's one of the studies that we're running right now in my lab, and looking at how individuals who've made a suicide attempt in the last couple of years, how their brains respond differently to stressful images while they're in a scanner. And the idea is that we think that there might be a certain area of the brain that functions differently in response to stress, and that this area might make them more vulnerable to responding to stress in a way that increases the risk to engage in a behavior like a suicide attempt. So we're still in the process of looking at that, but we hope that if that is the case, that it might inform different psychotherapies that would help us train people who are at great risk to deal with stress differently, and might also point to medications that might be informative and helpful.
Professor Baugh, then that would also lend to this notion of sort of reducing the stigma. And we only have like 30 seconds left, but maybe we could close with that, in just the sense that when we look at Dr. Ansel's research and the research of others in the field, that there is more and more reason to say this is something that you should talk about, because as we learn more, we can get past some of the shame that you see, or the hesitation that you see people to even to talk about it.
Absolutely. And I think a forum like this will allow people to see that it is much more common than you may expect. And you're correct, in a rural environment like South Dakota, there is a stigma attached to it. And we hope, by getting the information out there and saying that, we're the highest in the Midwest, ninth nationwide. We've reached an all-time high in 2017 for suicide attempts. So this is something that's going on affecting our community members.
The USD Center for Brain and Behavior Research holds the Suicide Prevention Forum. That's Wednesday, August 8th at 6:30 p.m. at the USD Health Science Center. We'll put more information on our website after the show, listen.sdpb.org. Dr. Lee Baugh and Dr. Emily Ansel, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.